in condemning Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad for using chemical weapons last week, killing dozens of civilians, including children. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer made a spectacular blunder during yesterday's White House briefing.
We didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, you had a, you know, someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons.
Well, after the media gathered, gasped at that, and pointed out that Hitler killed millions of Jews and others with chemical weapons, Spicer fumbled around and said that that was different because Hitler used Holocaust centers when he meant concentration camps. Eventually, Spicer apologized.
I was obviously trying to make a point about the heinous acts that Assad had made against his own people last week, using chemical weapons and gas. And frankly, I mistakenly used an inappropriate and insensitive reference to the Holocaust, for which, frankly, there is no comparison. And for that, I apologize. It was a mistake to do that. And you know, I appreciate Director Panetta's comments, and we'll keep those in mind.
So what do you think of what happened there? Some people say Sean Spicer just needs to be fired now. Do you agree or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. We're not only going to talk about Sean Spicer's blunder. We are going to talk about other major public relations disasters that have occurred just in this past week. It started with Pepsi and that commercial that is being called Tone Deaf. And then it was followed right away by United Airlines and its handling of that viral video of a passenger being dragged off of a recent United flight. So what are your thoughts on all of this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. All right, let's welcome our guest, Barbara Lippert, featured columnist. She writes Mad Blog at MediaPost.com. She covers the intersection of pop culture, advertising, and politics. She recently wrote a CNN opinion piece titled What Pepsi Really Got Wrong. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I want to
thank
you very much for being with us. And I'm going to say that we set up this interview thinking we were going to focus mainly on the Pepsi ad, but now everybody is talking about Sean Spicer and United, and they're kind of comparing all three. They're, you know, one article was "Move Over Pepsi and United." Sean Spicer is here to show you what a real PR disaster is.
Well, yeah, I made a joke that the CEO of United just sent Sean Spicer a giant fruit basket, which he regifted from Pepsi.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and there is I'm not laughing at the content of what Sean Spicer had to say, but I'm
right.
Seeing the same. I'm seeing this meme that is sort of going around. One of them was United saying, boy, it's been a rough week, and then Sean Spicer supposedly says in the meme, hold my Pepsi.
Right, well, yeah. being handed a can of Pepsi,
yeah.
Yeah. It's as if, you know, we're all so sensitized and politicized and outraged these days, you know, that everything is, you know, hits a nerve, and we're ready to jump on the outrage bandwagon, and of course now we have so many platforms, you know, on social media to express it immediately that it just, you know, multiplies. And what surprises me is that each time we still have the fresh outrage after, you know, day by day by day.
Yeah. So what was, though, your reaction to Spicer's comments and his eventual apology?
Well, I was absolutely horrified by his lack of historical knowledge. And that he would even go there in that, you know, analogy. But also it underlines how desperate he is, I think, to keep his job, and so that he offers alternative facts. this isn't the first time that he's done that, because he wanted to prove how horrible this man, whose name he couldn't even pronounce correctly ever, you know, was. So he would go to any length and not stop. And that was more important than the truth to him. And then, you know, you have to wonder whether he's just, you know, not aware of history, or there's something truly evil under there, because, you know, on Holocaust Remembrance Day, the White House did not mention the German Holocaust, or the death of, you know, 6 million Jews. So there seems to be a pattern there.
Yeah. So he did, though, apologize, which I'm not sure I've heard him apologize before in the name of the White House.
Never. And also, he put out three different. First of all, the reporter was handing him a lifeline and saying, "What did you mean by this?" And all he needed to do, if he was not so hysterical and so in overdrive, was to say, "Yeah, thank you for that. I'm going to take a step back. I probably shouldn't have gone there, and I mixed up what I meant to say." But instead, he doubled down and went into Holocaust centers, you know, as if they're spas, you know, giving you a free Zyklon B treatment or something. And then later on issued three different statements where he never got it right, because he made the difference that Assad attacked innocent people. Well, of course, the people who were put in concentration camps were completely innocent. The other point he made before he apologized also was that he said he never gassed his own people, meaning that German Jews were not really Germans. And that sort of goes with the whole Trump idea that foreigners are not Americans.
Yeah. Is there anything that he could possibly do to make up for this mistake?
Well, here again, this is just a PR move. He is just, you know, the top layer of a huge problem whirling inside. And so he, you know, firing him would be a ceremonial move, but it wouldn't really help anything in terms of the Trump administration. And the fact that the Trump administration is showing its loyalty to him and won't fire him also says something. So there's no really good answer here.
Kendra is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Kendra.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say that, you know, Trump's entire staff seems to have the same attitude he does. You know, whatever they say, they're going to stick with it. What Trump says, he's going to stick with. They don't seem educated at all with reality or history or a little thing called diplomacy or cultural sensitivity. Also, I think regarding United, they did not give their staff enough power. And they resulted in taking a security guard who's trained to use force and used force against somebody in a highly inappropriate manner.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kendra. Barbara?
I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, we are coming up against this awareness now that we really have no rights. The Trump administration is taking away a lot of consumer rights. And we're realizing there are very few airlines left now. And, you know, this is written in that they can remove any passenger they want, you know, in the small type, if we ever read those contracts. And so I think this feeling of, no, we're not helpless. We have cell phones. We have social media. We have our voices is rising up.
Yeah. I guess we can talk about United now. A lot of backlash after that passenger was dragged off. He got hit his head against something, was bleeding and screaming. He did not voluntarily want to give up his seat on a United Airlines flight to Louisville, saying that he needed to be there to see his patients. He was a doctor, see his patients in the morning. The airline reportedly needed to free up seats to transport commuting crew members. It seems to me that the CEO also, it took him three statements before he eventually apologized.
Exactly. You know, we are in this corporate, everybody is in this corporate filter where words like reaccommodating passengers, you know, don't seem Orwellian. That's just the speak they speak. And when it comes out and you see this man who's been, you know, brutalized on his face, and calling him reaccommodated, everybody just had a laugh. And it's just, you know, the late night comics went wild with it. And so then he finally came out with a proper kind of statement. And then also there's been dirt released on this passenger that he lost his medical license, yeah, that he was involved in, you know, various other nefarious things. And also they did remove three people, or they took them out without any incident. And the way he, you know, needed to be dragged and screamed, obviously he was a different kind of, you know, person.
Yeah, and I saw reports, too, though, that the apology came when stock was dropping like a brick on Wall Street.
Exactly. But apparently, the problem is that, you know, I think people just choose their airline tickets on price, mostly, and availability. And, you know, maybe for a couple of weeks there'll be a reaction, you know, where United will lose bookings, but not for long. Yeah. Especially if they handle it well now. And I think, you know, that's the problem, because the United thing, there's really no comparison. It's much worse than Pepsi. Pepsi was just a blunder on an image, on a stupid commercial. It didn't poison anyone, you know. It didn't need, you know, it didn't hurt anyone. It just hurt the corporate image. And if you're really addicted to Pepsi, you're going to continue drinking Pepsi. They're not going to get any new drinkers, but they're not going to get any new drinkers anyway, because it's fizzy sugar water, and that's not where the millennials who they were trying to reach, you know, are going in terms of their drinking.
You know what, we'll take our break now, and then when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about that Pepsi ad and what Pepsi did wrong there. But we'll also welcome your reaction to all of this. Some are saying that 2017 is turning in, is shaping up to be the year of the public relations disaster. Actually, it's just been 10 days or so that we've had these three major blunders. What do you think? What's going to fix this? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Barbara Lippert, who is a featured columnist. She writes a mad blog at mediapost.com. She also covers the intersection of pop culture, advertising, and politics. She recently wrote a CNN opinion piece, which was on the Pepsi ad, What Pepsi Really Got Wrong. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about some major public relations disasters, blunders anyway, with Barbara Lippert, who is writes about pop culture, advertising, and politics. We originally scheduled her to talk about that Pepsi ad that was pulled because a lot of people said it was tone deaf. In a way, it was a white woman perhaps saving the lives of black protesters by handing a police officer at a protest a Pepsi, and everybody got along famously after that. And so a lot of people mocked that, and it was pulled. Shortly after that, United got into hot water with this treatment of a passenger that they were forcing off one of the flights. And then yesterday, Sean Spicer stepped in it, so to speak, and made a horribly inaccurate comments about the Holocaust and Syria, to make a long story short. So what do you think of this? What questions do you have? Why do you think this is happening? A lot of people are saying that, you know, people need to be fired in all of these cases. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, a lot of other media outlets have participated in the mistake that Pepsi made, and here's a recent sketch from Saturday Night Live where we see everything that happened behind the scenes in the commercial. We are hearing Beck Bennett as the ad's writer and director. He is very excited about his idea for this fantastic new Pepsi ad. And here's a clip from that.
It's an homage to the resistance. So there's this huge protest in the street, reminiscent of Black Lives Matter. And so everybody's marching, right? And they get to these police officers, and you think it's going to go bad because there's kind of like a standoff. And then Kendall Jenner walks in, and she walks up to one of the police officers, and she hands him a Pepsi. And then that Pepsi brings everybody together. I mean, isn't that like the best ad ever?
So the skit, though, people in the in this skit are saying, no, it's not the best ad ever. This is awful. What's wrong with you? Tell us what you thought about that ad.
Me?
Yes. What Barbara. Did you think? Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought the same thing everybody else did, that it was tone deaf, and I called it, you know, Pepsi, the brand of the unwoke. And here, you know, the head of advertising had just made this fiery speech at this advertising industry convention years before about how tired he was about sitting in a room with white straight men talking about, you know, his customers who are mostly women. And so here it was this attempt to be really multicultural. They had this, you know, as one person called it, a hot Muslim woman who was supposed to be a photographer. The idea that getting Kendall Jenner as the woman to be, you know, to spark the piece by handing the officer the Pepsi is so sad, because she's really just a fashion model and a vapid social media star. What they were after were her $65 million Instagram followers. Mm-hmm. She also gets up to $300,000 for a tweet. And this is, you know, this is the problem with the country right now, that, you know, the Kardashians make hundreds of millions of dollars from knowing how to use social media and no real talent. And so here the future of the world was poised on this one woman. And it obviously, you know, so totally suggested that recent protests where the woman had a standoff with a bunch of true riot cops, and she wasn't, like, you know, exchanging beverages and laughing with them. She was getting arrested. And so the confrontation really kind of echoed that photo. So that was what was so insensitive and offensive about it.
Yeah, didn't one of the daughters of slain civil rights leader Martin Luther King joined in criticizing Pepsi's ad in a tweet? Bernice King included a photo of her father clashing with police as he links arms with fellow protesters, and the tweet reads, "If only Daddy would have known about the power of hashtag Pepsi."
Right. And so, yeah, that protester, it was a Black Lives Matter protest, you know, and her name was Aisha Evans, and she showed incredible grace and strength and, you know, her beliefs while she stood there calmly as they were arresting her. So to turn it around and to solve, you know, all of the world's problems with the Pepsi is just completely wrongheaded. I think they were trying to head in the direction of, you know, the revolution that Coke made with "I'd like to buy the world a Coke" in 1968, right, with its famous Hilltop ad, and it's the one that ended Mad Men because it was such an iconic ad. But the difference there is that that was just a suggestion for the world, you know, to bring peace. It wasn't appropriating important, sad, violent bits of history, you know, to sell this sugar water.
Here's a comment from Gary on Facebook. He says, "Pepsi was trying to project a global message of unity, peace, and understanding, and that was their big mistake. Political identity and action groups are more interested in disrupting and dividing people, and they are doing a great job of it with the help of the media, of course." So,
wow. Well, you know, my view of this is that part of the problem was, I mean, you know, a message of peace is lovely. You can't complain about it, but it was, this spot was shot in Thailand. There with, you know, not one American in the crew, in the cast, except for Kendall Jenner. No one really understood what the point was. They certainly didn't understand the signs they were carrying, which, you know, were so tepid and ridiculous, the most ridiculous of which was "join the conversation," which is what every corporate entity says when they're trying to get people to be part of their social media. Mm. And And, you know, the cops looked like they could have been male strippers. They were so cute. And, you know, there was this frisson of romance, too, because there was an Asian guy. You know, each nationality was represented by the one person. So there was this tall, cute Asian guy playing a cello and then carrying a cello. There were break dancers. So, you know, to make this into, like, Pepsi the Musical over serious issues and serious protests. And, you know, these things are very painful that cops are shooting black kids for no reason. So to say that it's a media creation and that people just don't want peace, and, you know, I just don't agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, join the conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234. Yeah. And we do have a full line, so let's go to Anne in Green Bay. Hi, Anne.
Good morning. Well, I'm a little more forgiving of Pepsi because at least they had the decency to apologize and pull the ad, whereas United, obviously, until it started affecting their profits, decided it, you know, wasn't worth apologizing for. And Sean Spicer, as far as I'm concerned, that man is so ignorant, he's an insult to the entire human race.
Well, talk about
that. I totally agree. Right on.
Well, and Pepsi did. It was almost, within 24 hours?
Well, yes, that part of it they had executed beautifully. You know, it was a very strong, perfect, simple statement they made, and they did that part very well, so they are to be commended on that part of it.
Yeah. So, and you're saying the same thing earlier, though, is that this was a dumb ad, whereas the other two instances are a lot more than just a mistake.
Right. And I'm not sure why the pile-on for Pepsi was so feverish, if it was as if no one could talk about anything else. And I think partly because we're all so disturbed and divided these days that, you know, for 2 days talking about Pepsi provided like a way station of peace where we can agree on a dumb ad and go back to the kinds of things we used to talk about.
Well, here's another comment, which... will give us something to talk about. Paul in Eau Claire emailed, Sean Spicer's comment was literally correct. The Pepsi commercial was just lame. The United passenger was in the wrong. People want the dopamine release that accompanies moral outrage, so they seek it out and even manufacture it. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't think that's correct about Sean Spicer, literally, because he's saying that he didn't release gas in the open to crowds during war. But I think privately gassing 6 million people, you know, Jews and Roma and homosexuals and mm-hmm. Catholics, qualifies as gassing his own people. So it depends what you think is literal there. I agree that Pepsi was just a dumb ad, and United does have the ability to do that, yes, to the letter of the law, but it was, again, a ridiculous way of showing power that will lose them a lot of credibility and make people turn against them. So why do that when they could have, you know, upped the offer of cash? They could have given him $1,000, or when they found out that he refused to go and he seemed, you know, very emotional, they could have picked someone else. I mean, there is another way they could have handled it without physically dragging him out on the ground.
Right. We talked to a guest from the National Association of Airline Passengers just in our last hour who agreed there were other ways that this could have been handled. Did say if you dig in your heels with some sort of police authority trying to drag you off a plane that you're not going to win. But he also said that he agreed with some lawmakers who are saying maybe we need to pass legislation that would prohibit this or to give airline passengers more rights. This kind of a spectacle, it could indeed lead, do you think, to any changes?
Well, I think, you know, as more and more people have phones with cameras and this gets to, you know, social media immediately and all over the internet, I think, yes, I think corporations will be responsive to that, if for only that they don't want to be embarrassed. You know, because capitalism is tough and, you know, they want to make the most profits for their stock as possible. But, yeah, I think like 10 or 15 years ago, if a plane sat on a runway for 24 hours, which I think happened at one point, and I think one person on the plane had a cell phone and finally called the president of the airline, and then it got responded to. But I think the pace of things have changed so much, and there's so much in our hands that we can use that corporations will have to be responsive.
Let's take a call next from Bill in River Falls. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Joey. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So my comment will have to do with United Airlines, and in all best deference to your guest, I did not see the Pepsi ad. And Sean Spicer, nothing he does surprises me, and as long as they decide to ignore facts, this kind of stuff is going to happen. Now, regarding United, I gave up my account. I won't fly United again. I'm a frequent business traveler. I'm going to vote with my dollars. I will take Greyhound before I step on a United flight. But two things. One, the police officers involved in there, they manage domestic disputes better. They go into a situation with a domestic dispute and will listen and will sometimes come away with, you know what, you guys need to figure this out, or this needs to be settled differently. And the fact that that police officer did what he did shows that they're really not a public security officer. They're an officer of the corporation, United, in this case. And then United had at least three options to avoid this. I mean, you mentioned one, paying more money. Two, they could have got the crew down there on a private United jet. They were in their hub. They could fly those for nearly $400 a crew person, and they could have done it. It's coming from a CEO who earns $25,000 a day. He couldn't put his crew on a private United flight down to Louisville. And three, you know what? United books, every airline overbooks their flights, and they do it with the statistics knowing that there's always going to be some people who won't make a connection. Well, this time they lost. So suck it up, United. You lost. You gambled. This happens once in a while. And to do this to a passenger is despicable. I don't care what's in the fine print. It's despicable.
Yeah.
I will never go on a United flight again.
Thank you for calling, Bill. What do you think of that, Barbara?
I think Bill's great. I think it's great that he's voting with his dollars. And I think, you know, I think that's what enlightened consumers do. And it's all of our jobs to judge people this way by investing in these companies and buying their products or not. And that's really our greatest power.
Barbara Lippert is our guest. She writes about pop culture, advertising, and politics. She recently wrote a piece for CNN, What Pepsi Really Got Wrong. And we are talking about what Pepsi got wrong, but also what United Airlines got wrong and what Sean Spicer got wrong, all in a week's time. What's going on with all this? What are your reactions? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Mark in Franklin is with us. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Two things. One, I think what United did was terrible. I saw the clip on the air, but United didn't do it. Somebody in Chicago did it. And how United ultimately reacts to that is going to be the real question. About Sean Spicer, I think everybody is making a mountain out of a molehill. Although I do hear an awful lot of your guests incorrectly, and maybe they should be commented about, not referring to the President of the United States with his title when they say his name, because they're apparently just so full of hate that they can't handle that.
Well, let me defend our guests, Mark, in that first reference with AP style is you say President Trump or President Obama or President anybody else, and then in second reference you just use the last name.
I'm referring to the guests, the call-ins.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that that's what typically happens. You don't call a president whatever every single time you reference. However, I just wanted to explain that hosts and guests often do that. So anyway, Mark says Spicer just misspoke and everybody's making a mountain out of a molehill, Barbara.
Well, I guess I have to come out and say, you know, I'm Jewish. It's the week of Passover. you know, it's when, you know, you're sort of looking back on when we were slaves in Egypt and we came out of it. The Holocaust is still, you know, a very, very, very traumatic incident for Jews. And so for someone to get the history so wrong and then double down and say that they were Holocaust centers, as if, you know, they were spa-like places, you know, where people weren't gassed and killed, you know, is very, very viscerally offensive to Jews and others.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call. Let's go to Emmanuel in Kenosha. Hi, Emmanuel.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My observations are in relation to this disgusting United Airlines incident. First, I should state that I'm a licensed private pilot and also licensed ground instructor. So I'd like to believe that my understanding of the rules is somewhat superior to the average person who didn't have to learn and study these things. That said, my first observation is that the authority of the pilot in command, i.e. the pilot or the captain, as commonly known, to remove persons or objects from an aircraft, is intended for purely for the safety, the security of the flight. It has nothing to do with corporate greed and profits and things of that nature, which is what happened here. And therefore, I think it would be the right thing for the proper authorities to charge the captain criminally for abusing his authority. Secondly, I would also offer that perhaps the FAA needs to step in and come down hard on the airlines, because with today's technology, there's zero excuse for overbooking a flight. And until the FAA comes down hard on them, the way they did with obscene taxi delays and all the other ridiculous things that airlines have done over the years at the expense of human life oftentimes, not to mention great discomfort and things of that nature, I don't think anything's going to change, because as United is showing right now, they don't care about anything but dollars. They have no shame. They have no honor.
Yeah, so thank you, Emmanuel. Seems to me, and I'm just wondering if you have a thought, Barbara, that people, at least anecdotally on this show, are really furious with United, and the other ones are like ho-hum.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sean Spicer will never be ho-hum.
Right, I didn't mean that.
Different area. But yes. And it's interesting that the caller said that he would fine the pilot, because I got the impression that it was just a corporate thing, that the pilots were sitting there waiting to take off, and that, you know, there was this corporate message that they had to get four people off the flight, and that was up to the crew members so that they could get four more crew members on. And, you know, that the usual incentives weren't working on this guy, and, you know, they should have chosen someone else. So it's interesting to hear that he thinks they should sue the pilot.
I saw a headline on a piece that said, you aren't mad at United, you're mad at America and corporate power and lack of consumer rights and decline of unions, and the list went on and on. What do you think of that?
I definitely think there's something. I think, you know, we are stirred up now, you know, and people are more activated politically than they've ever been. I think, you know, far more people are following what's happening every day in these press conferences with Sean Spicer, and they're watching, you know, who's taking over these cabinet positions, and, you know, how our positions seem to be changing, and how kind of out of control it all feels. So this is one of the few things we can control. And so, you know, that's good at that point, that people think that they can be, you know, consumer activists.
Our guest is Barbara Lippert. She is a columnist. She blogs at madblog@mediapost.com. She covers the intersection of pop culture, advertising, and politics, and she wrote a recent piece that we saw on CNN, which was titled, What Pepsi Really Got Wrong. So we decided we would talk to her about what Pepsi got wrong, and what United got wrong, and what Sean Spicer got wrong. as they all kind of happened in sequence. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org if you want to weigh in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about what some people are calling already the year of the major public relation disaster with the Pepsi ad and the United flight situation, and with Sean Spicer yesterday making a mistake, saying that Hitler never used chemical weapons on his people, and more. We are wondering what you think about all this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is a columnist who writes about pop culture and advertising and politics. And Barbara Lippert is the author of a opinion piece on CNN.com, What Pepsi Really Got Wrong. And let's see, Lance in Antioch, Illinois is with us. Hi, Lance.
Hi. I just wanted to add a fourth example of the intersection of pop culture and politics this week and get Ms. Lippert's comments about it. Don't know if she's actually familiar with it. The controversy was the X-Men Gold comic book, Marvel Comics. And
Well, what happened first, Lance?
Oh, there was an Indonesian artist who drew the comic, and he inserted some political symbolism and a number of other things, a Quranic verse on the T-shirt of the main character in the comic that was basically a warning that Muslims should not appoint Christians or Jewish people as their leaders. And had some other things like that, some politics, but the numbers 212 and 51 in the background.
And so what happened?
Well, he got fired. And Marvel Comics, you know, has issued an apology. I just wondered if she had any comments about this, if she knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the same type of thing where politics is mixed in with pop culture. I mean, that happens a lot in comics as well. And obviously in the Marvel comic movies, they mix in some politics with.
Well, thanks for another example. Are you familiar with this, or just maybe want
to? Yeah, no, I'm grateful to the caller. No, I wasn't familiar with this. And I guess, you know, no one at Marvel could, you know, read it before it went out or knew what it said or tried to translate it.
No, they didn't. They didn't know at the time. The editor said they didn't. They just trusted the artist. A lot of times, they trust the artist, and you know, somebody
right.
else puts the lettering in. He just drew it. He didn't write it. So they have different writers, and then they have colorists, and you know, the number of people to put out a comic like that of that quality.
Right, right. Well, but the larger point is so true about politics. I mean, you know, to the Power Rangers now, where they made the Black Power Ranger, it's obvious that he's on the spectrum somewhere. And, you know, they're trying to de-stereotype each kind of Power Ranger. And even with the latest Beauty and the Beast movie, you know, it's a far more feminist version of the mm-hmm. story than the one that I grew up with.
Thanks, Lance. Brian on Facebook says, people make mistakes, and I feel the press and media are over-inflating this incorrect use of terms and historical evidence. Most common sense people understand what Spicer meant, and calling it a blunder of historic proportion is ridiculous. I think the media over-inflates the importance of something that is so minuscule. Unfortunately, people today become offended from rhetoric far too easily, and as my college journalism professor said, you have no right to not be offended by rhetoric.
What?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that last part meant either,
yeah.
but I think what he meant, we're too easily offended, and we're making Spicer, we understand what Spicer meant.
Well, I think the problem is in lumping all these things together. You know, each is very different on a very different, you know, level of outrage, maybe. And so to compare them all and one, you know, public relations disaster leads to problems. But I don't think that anyone was minimizing what Spicer said. I mean, he represents the president of the United States, and he either didn't understand history or had a, you know, kind of white supremacist view of, you know, what happened in the Holocaust, who call them Holocaust centers. So, you know, and they gave him a chance like 3 or 4 times to make it better. So I understand we're all going to, you know, suffer from outrage overload at some point, and nothing will mean anything. And that's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious if you have any thoughts, Barbara. And again, I thank you for adjusting your plans. And we kind of sprung the Spicer story on you at the last minute today because it just happened yesterday. But I'm hearing a lot of President Trump's supporters coming through on this program saying, hey, give Sean Spicer a break. He just misspoke. That was just an innocent blunder. And I'm noticing that that they're defending Sean Spicer. They defend Donald Trump. They defend statements that will turn around to be untrue. The fake news stuff. And and they will not drop their support or their loyalty.
Well, one of the genius PR moves that Trump made, because he is a genius at this, is setting up the press as the enemy of the people, and that everything we report is wrong, and so while they are issuing the fake and alternative news, they are saying you can't trust the press. So that's a very easy enemy for people to glom onto, to say, the press is inflating it, the press is making a big deal, and at some points, yes, the press does inflate things. I mean, even on CNN, you have one topic for 24 hours. You get pretty sick of discussing it from every angle. Move on. But still, in the case of Spicer, he has a key job. I think he's just stressed out of his mind. And I don't know if you saw Rachel Maddow last night, but she did a montage of all the things he has mispronounced and misspoke. And every day it's like 20 of them. So either somebody has to give him a break for a while and let him rest and study up, or, something has to give. He can't go on at this pitch.
Let's go to Rod in Weyerhaeuser next. Hello, Rod.
Oh, thanks, Joyce. Can you hear me? I got my phone.
Well, not really, Rod, so I'm going to need you to speak directly into your mouthpiece and be as brief as possible.
Okay, I got this.
That's better.
The thing, I didn't see the Pepsi ad night. I didn't see Sean Spicer. We're all human, so none of us are perfect. I didn't vote for Trump. I'm not sticking up for Sean Spicer. What goes around comes around. If he has a habit of saying stupid things, it'll come to fruition. He did apologize, Pepsi apologized. But there is absolutely no excuse for these airlines, billions of dollars, to physically remove somebody from the airline like that. They should have offered a Learjet. I don't care. That was their mistake, but there's no excuse for calling this passenger bloodied up, humiliating him. It's just no excuse for that.
Thank you very much, Rod. So Rod forgives Pepsi and Spicer, but not United, Barbara.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Everybody, that's legitimate also. Yeah, it does seem it's very interesting that people are really furious with United. And, out of hundreds of thousands of times they've done this, this is the one thing that went the wrong way, went sideways this way, and in such a dramatic fashion. So, I think someone before said they took a risk, they took a gamble in forcibly removing this guy, and they really took the wrong move.
Thanks, Rod, for the call. Here's an email from Tommy in Bloomington. He writes, I'm a proud supporter of Black Lives Matter, but the arguments against this ad did not seem all that sound. Commercialization trivializes everything in essence. No one truly believes that getting a new grill is going to cure their depression, even though a commercial might imply that it does, and this seems like the same kind of instance. Also, if you watch the commercial, it's literally one of the most inclusive Pepsi commercials I've ever seen. No one seems to be talking about the fact that it included an assumedly a Muslim woman. There's not a lot about that on TV. The riot is not explicitly a BLM riot. I don't know why people just assumed that that's what it was alluding to, because there have been many different types of riots recently. This video literally is just a commentary on unity and diversity and, of course, Pepsi. I don't know. It was a protest, not a riot, necessarily.
Exactly. The use of riot is interesting because, you know, none of these things was a riot.
Yeah. But I guess he's thinking that it was an inclusive ad and, he thought it was unity and diversity.
And, you know, no one, caught up in this whole outrage about it. It was beautifully shot and beautifully produced, obviously cost, you know, multi-millions of dollars, and they paid Kendall Jenner at least $2 million for it. The cinematography is great, and the music was great. It was Bob Marley's grandson's music. But again, you know, it was political. And it was just coming from this corporate filter, this bubble of believing that this product, you know, could bring world peace was the problem, not how it was executed.
Yeah. In your piece, I think you referred to this as a cultural whiplash. What did you mean by cultural whiplash?
Well, I mean, we sort of got cultural whiplash from it in that, you know, it was released and less than 24 hours later, it was pulled and it never even got to appear on TV. You know, so, you know, that sort of frantic, you know, response and then further response from Pepsi, which further kept Pepsi in the news for another 2 days with the apology, was, you know, at this real fever pitch that, you know, sort of, as I think one of the something you read or one of the callers said, you know, gets our adrenaline going. And it's like we're slapped on one side of the face, then we're slapped on the other side of the face.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, we're sort of reeling.
You know, one thing that we didn't even get to was there are other companies that are in some hot water for being insensitive.
Well, yes, and you know, I was going to suggest that, you know, sort of the Uber problem, which is that a lot of these Silicon Valley companies, you know, are supposed to pride themselves on disrupting things, and it sort of alludes to something you said before about unions, where they come in and they destroy so many other industries. And they think that their stock price or their growth is the only thing that matters. And they're really, really arrogant. And this is not what anybody grew up with. And, you know, no amount of giving $1 million here or $1 million there really papers over it.
Right. And then I was going to mention Nivea, the lotion company, a German company,
right,
recently pulled an ad where they were they said white is purity. And then social media users had to take them to task for that.
Right. And it was for India, you know, where there's still a caste system where women with the whitest skin are seen to be the most beautiful. But to use the word purity, you know, that really, you know, goes back to, you know, sort of Nazi kind of language.
Yeah. Well, in our final minutes, I guess your thoughts on whether we're learning any lessons here or if you expect to see this type of public relations problems to continue.
I expect to see it continue because of social media and the ease with which, you know, something can get started on the internet and blow up within 2 hours on Twitter, say, or even an hour. We've never had that before. And also we're at a point now, you know, seems like a perilous point in world history, you know, where there's so many areas of confrontation, and we have the kind of president, you know, a reality TV star whom we've never had before. Yeah. So there's a lot to comment on and deal with.
Thank you very much for doing it with us. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.